when the real firing began. But finally it was done. The war party assembled in the center of the ville.
Okay, plan is this. The boys here haul the nuke out first, followed by Cyclops and his people, who get the pleasure of carrying that bastard.
With which he spat at the bound Sunchild, still tied to the stake.
And then the rest of us follow. Firing party, take torches, start the burning at the back, then run like hell to join us.
There was a ripple of laughter at this touch of humor, and the crowd parted to allow for the Sekhmen pulling the makeshift platform with the nuke on it. Using scrap from the camp, they had rigged up a trolley and pulleys that enabled the missile to be rolled with a relative smoothness, and once they had breasted the gentle incline of the track, it became a simple task to haul it. Ryan and JB followed, supporting the stake with the Muti Baron so that it sat easily on their shoulders. They would take the first haul, followed by Jack and Doc, then Mildred and Christy. They were none too happy at being volunteered for the task by Harvey, but had elected between them to say nothing and see how matters developed, especially in view of the manner in which the sect chief had assumed control of the situation, and the Baron had said nothing. The main body of the war party followed, with the firing party at the rear. Composed of the fastest and most nimble members of the war party, they lit torches from the fires that still burned, then skipped among the corpses and oil trails in a macabre dance, firing the oil trails and corpses at the rear of the valley and the outer edges, then outrunning the spreading fire as it consumed the ville. Looking back, Doc saw the fire take hold in the enclosed oven of the valley, glaring brighter than the rising sun, with an intense heat. Doc wasn't the only one. As he turned, left behind by the war party, he saw that Alien was also watching the fires. There was an aura about the Baron that suggested his power had been broken that night. An aura that snapped Doc out of his reverie and reminded him that, despite the Holocaust behind them, their own fight was still far from over.
Why don't you speak, you poltroon? Don't you see that this continuing pretense is only going to lead to more pain?
Along with Harvey, Jack, and Doc in the interrogation room were Ryan, Blake, and Downey from the Sec Force. The purpose of the interrogation, as Alien had directed his Sec Chief, was to find out what had happened to Dean, and also to ascertain how much the Muti leader knew about the nuke that was now being safely stored in an outlying tunnel. The trip back had been swift, the makeshift transport for the nuke being more than adequate for the task. The men pulling the nuke had headed away from the ville entrance they had used to exit the underground lair, and had instead headed for the disguised entrance that led on from the sub-basement of an underground garage in a ruined office building. The Sec forces had so well camouflaged the debris that led into the garage that JB had assumed they were headed into a wall of foliage as he followed close behind with a staked Sunchild, sharing the load with Ryan. Once inside, Alien had directed his Sec chief to the interrogation, and had accompanied his men to where he planned to store the nuke. He had asked the armorer to accompany them, and JB had taken that as a compliment to his abilities that he was being asked to help mothball a nuke. His rad counter had earlier verified that no radiation was leaking from the missile. The rest of the force had dispersed to their units to recover, Mildred and Christy accompanying the wounded to the small sick bay. There were few casualties, but more than the Ville's small medical team would usually deal with, and they were grateful for the assistance. And now Sunchild sat in the middle of the room, bleeding from a number of minor cuts and lesions about the face and upper body, heavily bruised from the repeated punches and slaps of the Sec Chief. Harvey had made a show of holding back, but it was obvious from the condition of Sunchild's earlier blaster wound and the gangrenous smell emanating from the area around the pus-dribbling wound that the Muti Baron's stamina had been severely depleted, and it wouldn't take much to chill him once and for all.
You old fool. I don't know who's crazier, you or that Muti bastard. He's a half-crazed Muti fucker, so why should he be able to make any sense?
Doc smiled, his oddly perfect white teeth reflecting the lamplight that hung over the bound and secured Muti leader, casting a pool of light in the center of the room that left the edges in shadow. He leaned toward the Sec Chief to emphasize his point.
That, sir, truly does beg the question of why, if you believe that, you persist in torturing the poor soul.
Poor soul? This fucker is a poor soul? After all he's done, you can say that?
There is, sir, no feasible logic to your argument. Would torture bring back the dead and damned? No, sir, it would not. All it would do is make you feel better for a short while. And that, sir, is not the purpose of this charade.
Big words, you lanky fuck. But that's all. I say I should just ice the son of a bitch right now.
Jack stepped forward from the shadow.
Not what alien want. Not what say. Anyway, Doc used big words, but sometimes makes sense.
The albino looked to Doc.
Well, I think talk sense anyway.
Not once had he made any sounds that could be taken as words, but there was something about Doc's conviction that the mutie could speak, and perhaps tell them something, that made the one-eyed warrior stiffen in the shadows.
Yeah, Doc. Why do you think that?
Our friend here is holding out on us, I fear.
Doc bent toward the mutie baron so that his face was almost level with that of the bound man. The smell from the mutie's gangrenous wound made him gag, but he paused, waiting until Sunchild made eye contact.
You see, I feel sure that he is following every word we say. The body language of the man suggests that he is braced against the big chill, but that he has his pride. Take his secrets to the grave with him. To protect part of himself, keep it close. By not giving in, he feels that ultimately he will win. Don't you?
Harvey turned imploringly to Blake and Downey.
Shit, bastard, and fuck. Can you believe this complete bullshit? What the fuck kind of joke is this old shithead on?
The two sec men exchanged puzzled glances. If their chief was right and Doc was wrong, then why the hell were they there anyway? And if the old man was right, then why was Harvey getting so worked up? Ryan stepped forward into the light. He fixed Sunchild with his icy blue eye.
Do you know anything about my son?
Sunchild returned the stare. Despite the wounds, the blood, and the ugliness of his mutated features, the mutie leader assumed a sudden dignity that took all but Doc and Ryan by surprise.
I know nothing of your son, One-Eye. Are you the one of legend? The one who searches for the North?
I may be. What do you know of me?
Men we have sacrificed to the gods have spoken of you before dying. Yes, we know your tongue. My fathers and myself long ago learned that we would need it to communicate and learn from those who would join the gods. You and your people are legends, some. I tell you this. If I had your son, he would have been chilled and consumed as a sacrifice. And a noble one. One of much power. I would have welcomed that. And it would have been a fine chill for him to meet the gods as a chosen one. But we have not done this.
I believe you.
Time seemed to stand still, and there was no one else in the room besides the two of them. All else faded in the eerie calm of Sunchild's voice. Ryan had only heard him bellowing the strange dialect and chant of his people. To hear him speak a normal tongue, and so quietly, was bizarre. He spoke it as though it were a foreign language, haltingly, but with a measured precision to every word.
You have taken our totem, the means of destruction, the coming of the purifying fire.
Yeah. The last thing we wanted was another new cost around these parts. If the positions were reversed...
Despite himself, he found that he held a degree of respect for the mutie baron, who seemed to carry with him the dignity of an inherited line.
Our view would be different. Naturally, as you do not believe. For many generations, we have coexisted here, allowing your heresy in this view. But things are worsening. I can feel her power growing.
Doc stepped forward.
Her? Beauty fucker's talking shit again.
Shut up, Harv. Let him have his say.
The sect chief shot Blake a glance of pure venom, but said nothing.
A woman who would control. You think I have not been aware of her heresies? The sacrifices that have been corrupted by her hand? She is mutie like us. I can feel her near. Feel the hate. Think what you like of us, One-Eye. And you, old man. We are as noble as you. But we have different views. You are not bad, just wrong. But she is bad. Her blood was tainted in the underworld, and that continues. She has white coat fever, and will seek the final solution.
One second, it seemed to Ryan and Doc that Sunchild was looking...